Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. What a day, what a day. I am just grateful to be here today, grateful to be alive, grateful to be a child of God. And I just want to tell you to call a friend and give him my number. Call 213-943-3597. Sunday, today, the Lord's Day, through Friday, we are here at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time for Bible study. And we are live on Blog Talk Radio, and we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for every day of the year, for this year and next year. And I am excited because Dr. Stanley gives us life examples, life lessons, questions. And all I can say is thank you. And may God rest his wonderful, beautiful soul. And so I just say to you, please share the information to call in, to come visit with us, come speak with us, come just have coffee with us. And what I got this morning for our prayer is this: constant. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. Jonah 4:1 NLT. God, you are a constant one that never changes. You are consistent in the way you lavishly love. Of that, there is no doubt. Lord, keep me solid on the firm foundation of your compassionate kindness that overlooks offenses and longs for others to be reconciled to you, that they may live in the freedom of your joy over their lives. When you interrupt my plans and schedule with impressions of compassion, I pray for the grace to go with it. People are always more important to you than making sure to-do lists are checked off. Lord, may I always leave room and make space for your spirit to change my agenda. You always know better anyway. I don't want a moment of what you're doing. Keep my heart soft and flexible to move with you and to not stay tied down to my own will and way. Your intentions always supersede my own. I yield to your leadership in my life. And I just have to shout out this morning the awesome youth, teen youth ministry of my church. We took some of our teens to a youth conference over the weekend. So happy to say they had encounters with the Lord. They had encounters with God. And it was beautiful. And I pray that as they move forward, going back to school, that they never forget what God has done in their life. And that they had an encounter with him. And shout out to Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church for putting on a wonderful event where the move of God was present. Speakers were on point. each and every speaker was on point on yesterday. And as I was reading this prayer about being constant and things changing, you know, I was under the impression the conference would be over at noon. Our 12:30, it was not over till like 2 o'clock. And I had made plans, our 2:30-ish, and I had made plans to end another event. But God knows how to do everything. I was able to keep my children there to hear the entire conference, which they enjoyed. They were able to go skating, and I was still able to attend the event that I wanted to attend. So I am thankful. I am grateful. I am blessed that the Lord will do what he will do. God will do what he says he will do. God stands on his word. And as we go into our New Testament lesson today and finish up Nehemiah, God did what he said he will do. He said he sent Nehemiah on a mission to complete a wall. He completed the wall. God is sending Paul on a mission to Rome, but he's got to stop someplace first because God has an assignment. God is constant. He never changes. We are the ones that change. We are the ones that don't always follow his will. And as we all know, Jonah was one of those folks that didn't want to follow the will of God. We will get to Jonah. And it's interesting. Not many people get angry because God does what he says he's going to do. Not many people angry when God blesses folks to life. But Jonah did. He was hot. He was mad. Like, I knew you was going to save him. And God is going to save us. We are thankful today that God saves us every day. He loves us like that. So our word this morning, and as we pray our prayer, Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning with a humble heart, open and ready to receive what you pour into me, God. May I speak only what you want me to speak and say only what you want me to say. Father God, I pray that you increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And as we go into our word, we are coming out Nehemiah chapter 13, finishing up our Friday Old Testament word, and then we will go into our Proverbs, our Psalms, our Proverbs, and our New Testament word. So please join me in the book of Nehemiah chapter 13. I found this on the web. And it says, on that day they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God, because they had not met the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned a curse into a blessing. So it was, when they had heard the law, that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. Now, before this, Eliashib, the priest, having authority over the storeroom of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had store, the grain offerings, and frankincense. The articles, the tithes of grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gave offerings for the priests. But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem, but in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I have returned to the king. Then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king, and I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Elishahib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the room, and I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offerings and the frankincense. I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them, but each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. So I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then all Judah brought the tithes of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. And I appointed as treasurers over the storehouse Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe. And of the Levites, Pedadiah and Nechushanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mathaniah. But they were considered faithful, and their task was to distribute to their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for his services. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, beer, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem, the nobles of Judah, and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do that? Did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. And I have to put a pin there, as was in one of the sessions yesterday. You know, was talking about, you know, what do we need to do as men and as children of God. You know, it was talking about social media and how words and things that you say can cause problems. And, you know, she was talking about the different things. And, you know, we talk about laying hands on. There's some types of laying hands. There's a type of laying hands on that would give you a spiritual enlightenment. I'm laying hands on you to help you to rebuke, to bind, or to affirm whatever it is that God has for you and for you to know, only you to know. And when hands are laid, they are laid for a purpose and a reason. But in Nehemiah's case, he was about to lay hands and feet on some folks selling on the Sabbath because he didn't play. Think about Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer to a king, and he didn't play. Whatever his assignment was, he did his assignment, and he did it well, and he did not play. And he had to let them know, I'm going to lay some hands on you. You know, and there are times where we got to lay some hands on some things and on some people. And I'm not talking about beating your children till there's not much left of them. But sometimes you got to lay a hand or two on a child to get their attention. He had to leave with talking, telling him, I'm going to lay hands on you if you didn't come back here on the Sabbath. Because from that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. Because he's like, hey, let me give you a hint. You know, you're going to respect the day of the Lord. You're going to respect my Father God. All this stuff y'all been doing is going to stop. Or some hands are going to be laid. And I'm just adding the feet. The word says that he was going to lay some hands on them. And they understood. Whoever this man is, we know that he's the one that had this wall built. And we need to leave it alone. Because he has the favor of God. Because God will do what he says he will do. And Nehemiah was going to do what he said he was going to do. He was going to lay some hands on some folks. And it says, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. In those days I also saw Jews who had married, Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. So I contended with them and cursed them and struck some of them and pulled out their heads and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters or wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. Should we then hear of your doing all this great evil, transgressing against our God by marrying pagan women? And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, who was a son-in-law of Sanballat, the Horonite. Therefore I drove him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and the Levites. Thus I cleansed them of everything pagan. I also assigned duty to the priests and the Levites, each to his service, and to bringing the wood offering and the first fruit at appointed times. Remember me, O my God, for good. Hallelujah. Don't mess with a man of God. Don't think you can get away with doing wrong, because God is going to show you the right of things. We got to understand Nehemiah did not play. And a life lesson from this word this morning is this: if you do so again, I will lay hands on you. At times, even godly men must speak forcefully and with great zeal. So Nehemiah spoke forcefully with great zeal that he was about to lay some hands on some folks. Don't mess with God's people. Don't take their kindness for weakness. And that is just me giving you an understanding. Don't take the kindness of the people of God for weakness, because you don't want them laying holy hands on you. And as we continue in our word, we are going to our psalm, and we will be in our New Testament word today. And our psalm today is this, the 89th psalm, and we'll be starting at verse 11. And we will be going to that, we actually, I believe we will be finishing the 89th psalm this morning. Let me check. No, we'll still be in the 89th psalm. So we will be in the 89th psalm, starting at verse 11, and we'll end at verse 37 today. Our proverb will start at chapter 21, starting at verse 29 to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. In our New Testament word, we will be in the book of Acts, starting at chapter 27, starting at verse 27. So chapter 27, starting at verse 27. And our last word today, we will be starting a new book. We will be starting Romans chapter 1 today also. So we will have Know Your Bible when we get to Romans. So let's get started in the book of Acts as we get ready to finish it out this morning. We will be starting in our psalm, in our proverb, in our psalm this morning, 89th psalm, starting at verse 11. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Harmon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong in your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our king to the Holy One of Israel. Whoa, what a word. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One, and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Excuse me. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague those who hate him. God don't mind putting holy hands on some folks, too. Hey, God will lay some hands down. And it says, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Also I will set his hand over the sea, and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever. Covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. What a word, what a word, what a word. Thank you, God. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Even God don't spare the rod. We better understand that, because God ain't trying to spoil this child. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, my loving kindness, I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David, shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithfulness in the sky. Selah. And as we go back for life lessons, God is preparing us, because God will do what he says he will do. He's going to stand on his word. As the psalmist says, he will come through. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And it says this, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever from before me. 89th Psalm, verses 35 and 36. The faithfulness of God's promise to David came through Jesus Christ. Jesus was not only the accomplishment of God's gratuity to David, but also of over 300 prophecies and pledges throughout Israel's history to everyone from Adam to Zechariah. God always fulfills his promises to the letter. Again, our title this morning, God will do what he says he will do. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 29. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, establishes his way. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Deliverance is of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Verse 2. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. I got to come back and read that again. 22nd Proverbs, verses 1 through 2. A good name, come on, y'all, is to be chosen rather than great riches, rather than silver and gold. A good name, your good name is important. Your good name is forever. All the gold, all the riches, all the stuff in this world is not worth your good name. Don't let anybody take your good name. And he tells us in the word, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The Lord told us, Jesus told us in his word, that the poor would always be with us. But it is our responsibility to help others. Don't forsake what God tells you to do. All the money in the world is not worth your soul or disobedience to God. And it tells us a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. We got to be humble. We got to let God know, I love you, Lord. And whatever you have me do, I will do. And if you go to a life lesson from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with preparation. In fact, it is essential that we always be ready for whatever the Lord calls us to do. However, the power and wisdom behind any victory is from God. Our resources will never be enough, never fail. What God says he will do, he will do. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are in the book of Acts. As we get ready to wrap it up, we are in the 27th chapter of Acts, and we'll be starting now when the 14th night had come as we were driven up and down the Antioch and Adriatic. But I want to go back a little bit because what God gave me this morning was to go back a little bit in Acts, because the angel of the Lord visited. He had a visit. Paul had a visit from God. And so we're going to go back and look at that visitation, because we got to understand that God's will is always the best, because they had been tossed around and thrown stuff out of the boat, and they were afraid. Paul said we shouldn't leave, but they thought they could make it. And so Paul is in prayer. He's been in prayer. And so we're going to go to verse 20 of chapter 27. And it's of the book of Acts. And it says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should now listen to me. And I have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. But there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven by the up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, Paul had a lot of about midnight. We already know that when Paul and Silas was in prison at about midnight, as they were singing hymns and praying, the foundation of the jail shook and every door was open. Hallelujah. God will shake foundations. And Paul was about to have another at about midnight. And it says, at about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near from land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it was then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the sun and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the rope of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul employed them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment. But this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day and they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosening the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners as any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on board, some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. God, say it with me, God will do what he says he will do. Did the angel of the Lord tell Paul, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God, that ye will be just as it was told me. What did the angel of God say? But there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Woo! Won't he do it? I say it. Yes, he will. He will do it. I believe, God, that it will be just as it was told me. Life lesson, when times get hard, those who do not have a relationship with God can take courage from those who do. If believers maintain and display their trust in the Lord, Paul's faith encouraged many unbelievers. There were those that wanted to kill folks, but God saved their hands. And as we go back, it says, all Estelaeans, all 276 persons escaped to land. God had promised that everyone on board would be saved, and so it happened. Some swam, some floated on boards or pieces of the ship, but everyone made it to shore safely. We never go wrong by trusting God's word. We stand on his word today. We believe his word today, that God's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You are covered by God. Chapter 28 of Acts. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and gestured. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island, and landing at Cyprus 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii, Forum, and there, and 3 inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see me, to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with these chains. Then they said to him, we neither receive letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoke any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. But concerning this set, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and strongly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, excuse me, y'all. Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when they had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no one forbidding him. God will do what he said he would do. He said Paul had to come to Rome. And what did he do? He's to Rome. And even with the tossing and the turning of the ship and the wind and the waves, Paul made it to Rome. He had an assignment. And as we go back to chapter 28, verse 3, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. God had just rescued Paul from drowning at sea, and immediately he suffered another kind of trouble. Yet God used both difficult incidents to showcase his power and love to those who did not yet believe in him. Paul didn't pretend to be a god. Paul was just who he was, shook off the sneaky snake and sent him back into the pit of hell fire that he belonged. Acts 28:15, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Paul always traveled in ministry teams, always drew on the strength of his fellow believers. He knew that no Christian could grow in faith apart from connecting deeply with others in the body of Christ. We've got to connect to each other. Acts 28:24, some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. We have the same thing happening today. It is always, as Dr. Stanley tells us, this way: when the gospel is preached, some believe and some don't. Paul said, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Romans chapter 1. And let's get out our new Bible, what the Bible says about Romans. The Apostle Paul was the author of Romans with secretarial assistance of Tertius. The approximate date was AD 57, near the conclusion of Paul's third missionary journey. Sinners are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. The 10 words or less to describe Romans. Sinners are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. Detailed fleet. Some call Romans a theology textbook for its thorough explanation of the Christian life. Paul begins by describing God's righteous anger against human sin, chapters 1 and 2, noting that everyone falls short of God's standards, chapter 3, verse 23. But God himself provides the only way to overcome this sin, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, being justified, made right, through faith in Jesus, we can consider ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's going to be in chapter 6. God's Spirit will quicken, give life to 8 and 11. All who believe in Jesus allows us to present our bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, chapter 12, verse 1. It's possible with God's help to be not overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good, chapter 12. There's going to be a lot in chapter 12. That's one of my favorite chapters in Romans, besides chapter 8. Quotables, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, verses chapter 5, verse 8. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, chapter 6, verse 23. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. And this is my favorite verse from chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God will do what he says he will do. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I have to say, I watched the show called Manifest, and this scripture was spoken all the years of the show, and it was on NBC for I think about 2 years, maybe three. And when I'm sure some atheists found out that what they were saying, when you put it all together, because they would say all things work together for good, we know that all things work together for good, and that's what they would say. They didn't finish it, but Christians knew the rest that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. They were called to save the world. This group of passengers, they were all called. And the mother of two of the people that have been on the plane, that was what she spoke, that scripture, all the time. And so it was part of who they were. But I'm sure that, again, once somebody realized that it was actually a show of faith, they got rid of it. But Netflix picked it up, and it was the highest show on Netflix. And so I am grateful they finished it in an honorable and wonderful way. And it says, owe no man anything but love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law, chapter 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, which Jesus said, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Chapter 13 and 10. Unique and unusual about Romans. Unlike Paul's other letters to churches, Romans was addressed to a congregation he never met. The great missionary was hoping to see the Roman Christians personally while traveling westward to Spain. It's unclear if Paul ever actually reached Spain or if he was executed in Rome after the end of the book of Acts. In Paul's own words, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, to be called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name among whom you also, all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks, to the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For, ooh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, I'm about to shout up in here. Ooh, hallelujah. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God to reveal from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made from corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women changed the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Come on now. Not my words, but God's words. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind or a reprobated mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Come on now. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And not my words, but God's word. And I say, right up there with the things that God said, women and women, men and men, but understand that these things are just as bad. Unrighteousness, right along with the sexual immorality. Wickedness, right along with the sexual immorality. Covetousness, right along with the sexual immorality. Maliciousness, right along with the sexual immorality. Full of envy, right along with the sexual immorality. Murder, right along with the sexual immorality. Strife and deceit, evil-mindedness, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, right along with sexual immorality. Understand, God is not just, we all want to come on all of this, but you better look at some other things too, because it all comes to God. And he's telling us, nothing, no sin is any worse than any other sin. And I love this word from Life Lessons. And it says, I am not ashamed, Romans 1:16, of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We must never feel ashamed of our connection to Christ or to the salvation that he freely offers to all. It is a high privilege to represent him, and we must do so with boldness and enthusiasm. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. My car has faith as my license plate. Faith is what I have. That's, I stand on faith because I know where God has brought me from. We live the whole Christian life by faith. We take hold of grace for salvation by faith. And we take hold of grace for going in godliness by faith. God loves to honor faith because faith honors him. Paul always connected grace and faith not only to salvation, but also to obedience. Grace gives us the desire and the power to obey. One last thing before we wrap up this morning. Romans 1:24, and a word from Sister Carolyn. God also gave them up. Romans 1 records how God will give people over to the sins they refuse to give up, so that over their lives, and eventually destroy them. Three times Paul uses this on a related phrase, 26:8. Again, what he said, give you over to a reprobated mind. You got to stop and take notice of what God has for us to do. God will do what he says he will do. And we got to trust and stand on his word. And his word is truth. And truth of God is what says it's free. We got to know we are free indeed by the word of God. And Sister Carolyn has a word for us. What God has for you, man can take from you. Stand on his promise. Woo! Have an abundantly blessed Sunday. God will do, he will do. Again, your blessings are irrevocable. What God has for you is for you. And can't no demon in it take it away. What God has for you, man can take from you. Stand on his promise. Have an abundantly blessed Sunday, family. And as always, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and go. When you can, do what God tells you to do. Because God's will always be done. And what he says he will do it. Trust God. We're done with what I have. Is anyone, before we get out of here, because you will not be able to call back in, if you have a word from God, now's the time to push the number one on your phone. If not, family, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. It is a wrap. Whoa, hold on. Not quite yet. We do have a caller.
Hello, this is Evangelist Teresa. God told me to say why people are looking for love in humans and animals, whatever. Look to him. He is our true loving God. He gives us perfect love that nobody can give us. God said, look to him. Look to him while you're looking for love, and he shall lead you and guide you what you need. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. God will do what he says he will do.
He will do.
And whatever it is that you need, God has already put it in place to provide.
Hallelujah.
For you. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you all. Have a blessed day, family. And now it is a wrap. Thank you, Evangelist, for listening to the voice of God. Have a great day.
Amen.
Again, Bible Believing, Bible Teaching Church. And make sure you take your Bible with you and open it and read it. And make sure that whatever is being spoken to you is being spoken in context. Because understand, don't ever get it twisted. There are many wolves in sheep clothing and shepherd clothing that are teaching the word of God in God's word. They're taking God's word and twisting it for their own benefit. And we have to know the difference. Ask God for discernment. And remember, God's in charge of everything. And his will always be done. Have a great day, family. It's